Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Tuesday, March the 19th. It is also the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that you all had a great and productive start to a new week, and that you are already embracing what God has for you to do this week, whether it's the challenges, the new opportunities, or new chances for growth. Remember that God, somehow in his providential care for us, is working things out for the good. It may not feel good, but God is working it out. 30 days ago, we started this fast, this Lenten journey. We got 10 days to go. If this is your first day, the Bible does say the last will be first. You know, I thought about something this morning. Once in a lifetime, we come across a song that defines an era, defines an artist, and defines a genre. The song Lose Yourself by Eminem was his defining moment. The track was released as a single from the movie 8 Mile. It's a movie loosely based on Marshall Mathers' real life. The movie features a character named Rabbit going through the struggles of living in a terrible neighborhood, performing in local rap battles, and dealing with opposition and enemies. The song Lose Yourself starts out with one of the most famous verses in rap music. Eminem is describing the feelings he gets before he takes the stage and the nervousness that comes with performing in high-pressure situations. Eminem references the feeling you get inside as your knees get weak and the crowd becomes so loud that you can't hear your own thoughts. He talks about how you must maintain your composure and never miss an opportunity. The hook focuses on a theme similar to the first story, as Eminem is describing how you can't give in when the going gets tough, and how you must lose yourself in the moment in order to fully make it meaningful. For the next few minutes, I want you to think about the question that Eminem poses at the beginning of the track. If you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, in one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? Seizing the moment. That's what I want to talk about today. To seize the moment means to take a hold of the experiences and opportunities in life that you are giving. To take a hold of the spontaneity of life, to enjoy the fun moments and to reflect on the not so fun moments. Seizing the moment has a lot to do with doing, that is action. It requires you to take a risk, because once you identify the moment, you have to seize it because it may not come again. You've heard me talk about opportunity before. It's like a bald-headed man with a slick pigtail in the front of his head. When it runs by, you only have a moment to grab the pigtail, or your hand slides off the top of his head and you've lost it. There are 76 of you on the call this morning, and I'm sure that a few of you have had moments that, when looking back, you wished you would have seized. Maybe it was a business opportunity or a relationship or finishing school or relocating to another city or state. Whatever that moment was, you have this idea lodged in the back of your mind that if only you would have seized it by doing something, your life would look differently today. Because most of our time is spent doing something, right? We fill our lives with activity and busyness, because as long as I am doing something, then maybe I won't miss the moment being in the moment, or at least build up enough courage to seize the moment when an opportunity comes back around. But remember what I told you last week? I think I need to say it again for the people in the back, because some of you have not latched on to what I said. And the reason I know it is because I have had conversations with some of you recently. So I've said again, life isn't about doing, but rather about being. That when God calls us to seize the moment, the call isn't simply to do something, but rather to be something. And while walking by the Sea of Galilee in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says that Jesus saw two brothers, Peter and Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." There are different kinds of callings, yet each one of these calls have one thing in common. God's calling is less about what we do than who we are. That is, when God calls us to a specific assignment, the call simply isn't to do something, but rather to be something. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. These men were in a place of obscurity. They were fishermen. They were not educated men. That is, they were not in the process of receiving the higher graduate education in the courts of the Pharisees. They were men of limited means. They were in a vocation that enabled them to feed their families and to sustain themselves. Yes, they were fishermen, but not the kind that stood at the edge of the water with a rod, chilling. But they were the kind that fished with nets. They were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, on the Lake of Gennesaret, where storms could strike at any time, overturning boats, killing fishermen, and impoverishing families left behind from husbands lost at sea. They weren't learned men who studied the law or other philosophies at the feet of the rabbis. They were roughnecks with callous hands. They reeked from the smell of raw fish. They were at the bottom of the occupational barrel. They were men from an obscure background, but yet something in them sensed that they were made for something beyond, get this, what they were paid to do. Maybe they experienced some kind of restlessness or yearning long before Jesus entered the scene. Maybe after encountering him earlier, they knew it was something about him that made them want to know him and to be a part of him. Have you ever felt that there was something more to life than this? Just a deep yearning, something uncomfortable, an uncomfortable feeling. Have you ever had some kind of restlessness or yearning deep within that alerted you to the idea that maybe you were made for something beyond what you are paid to do? Very few people believe that what they do with most of their time matter or make a particular difference in the world. But perhaps you have the luxury of working in an occupation where your faith, work, family, and many other dimensions of your life all come together. And when things get tough and challenging, you wonder whether it is making a difference. But do you ever wonder if what you are doing is a call from God? Do you ever wonder, is that for which you are paid to do is the same as that for which you are made to do? Peter, Andrew, James, and John were paid to fish. It was an occupation where faith, work, and family all came together. But Jesus is calling them to something deeper, something unique, and something specific. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But Lord, I'm not educated. Follow me and I will make you. But Lord, I'm from an obscure background. Follow me and I will make you. When God calls you, God is not concerned about what you have, about your abilities. When God calls you, God is more concerned with one thing. Will you be available? Because the call has little to do with you doing something than it does with you becoming something. But I want you to get something. In order to move from what you are paid to do to operating in what you are made to do, here's where the tension lies. It always means something got to change. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, they were casting their net. In verse 19, they left their nets. In verse 21, they were in the boat. In verse 22, they left their boat and their father. The moment they recognized that for which they were made to do and acted upon it, things changed. Jesus said to them, follow me. That's the first part. Follow me. Literally, come behind me. This is an invitation for constant companionship. This is an invitation to fellowship. This is Jesus inviting them into his personal space. Follow me. Watch me. Come into my personal space, and then I will make you fishers of men. Then we can get to the doing. But first, I need you to commit to the becoming. And the moment they recognized that for which they were made and acted upon it, verse 19, they left their nets. Verse 22, they left their boat and father behind. Because church, once you make the distinction between what you are paid to do and what you are made to do and act upon it, something gotta change. Jesus thought enough of these unlearned men from the ghetto to invite them to take part in something that was bigger than them. And when they recognized the moment, they seized the moment. Time won't permit me to linger here. But notice what they left behind. When Jesus called them, when Jesus said, follow me, they left behind their nets, which meant leaving behind their livelihood. They left behind their boat, which meant giving up their autonomy. Because if you were a fisherman in Galilee, your boat was everything. You were the captain of that boat. Your boat was your everything. It was your life, but they left it behind. But James and John went a step further in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 4. Not only did they leave the nets and the boat, but they also left behind their father, which meant leaving behind family demands and expectations. When Jesus summoned them, called them to seize the moment, they weren't concerned about their livelihood or their autonomy or even the demands and expectations of their family. They lost themselves in the moment because they recognized that Jesus was calling them to something bigger than all of that. Let me help you this morning. Destiny costs something. Destiny costs something. It did not involve disposing of home and property or severing of family ties, but this moment which these men seized would bring about a complete disruption of their normal way of life. Some of you want the glory from the moment, but don't want the disruption that comes from saying yes to the moment. Saying yes to Jesus brings disruptions. Yes, it does. It may not be necessary for all to leave professions and possessions behind, but all of us that answers the call, that seizes the moment, must leave our world behind and enter the new world into which Jesus invites us. Follow me. That's an interesting invitation, isn't it? Because it was customary for rabbinic students to seek a master and then choose to learn from him. But Jesus flipped the script because we don't seek him, but he seeks us. Oh, that's grace talk there. That in order that in all of our searching, we are being sought. That is, the one whom we choose is the one who first choose us. Marred, broken, battered, sinful, dirty, guilty, but I'm chosen. I may not have a lot of things, and I may not be a lot of things to a lot of people. I may struggle, I may be behind, and I may be flawed, but at the end of the day, I'm chosen. Oh, you ought to just put your hands on yourself and encourage yourself by telling yourself that I've been chosen. And it is this. It was knowing that Jesus saw something in them, something of value and worth, that made Peter, Andrew, James, and John feel compelled to seize the moment. They probably have no idea what being fishers of people even means at this point in the story, but they do know that Jesus sees something in them. Something of value and worth. They have no idea where they will go or what they will do, but they do know that Jesus is calling them to something bigger than themselves, and they trust that the rest will become clear in time. Oh, I believe that's my task this morning, to simply remind you, child of God, that when God calls you to seize the moment, the call isn't simply to do something, but rather to be something. Be what, Collins? Be a preacher? Be a missionary? Be a teacher? Be a deacon? Be what? Here it is. Be a child of God. That even if you don't get the title, that even if you don't know what being a child of God exactly means or where it will take you or what you will have to do, that's okay. In the meantime, all you need to know is that God values you and God honors you and God loves you. Be a child of God. That before God calls you to any task, to be a preacher or a teacher or a doctor or a labor worker or a homemaker, God first calls us to be God's own beloved children. And if you are open to seizing the moment, that if you are open to being God's child, you will learn over time what it means and how to respond to other calls that God will make in your life. And once you become, then you will know what to do. And once you know what to do, your life will become more meaningful. Let me stop right there to welcome you to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If you're new to the call, my name is Marcus D. Collins, and I'm a part of an amazing community called Grace Church. And we're just so thrilled that you decided to start your morning off, all of you, starting your morning off with prayer and devotion. I want you to remember something today. If we can first focus on being, just being a child of God, and let God's grace seep into the deepest parts of ourselves, then those things we are called to do will become clear in time. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we gather today seeking not just knowledge or action, but a deeper connection with you. We come before you aware of the constant pressure to achieve, to strive, to do more. Just as Jesus called his disciples to follow him before promising to make them fishers of men, we too yearn to simply be in your presence. Help us quiet our minds and open our hearts to your transforming love. Grant us the wisdom to discern the difference between the call to action rooted in your purpose and the urge to frantically accomplish tasks. May we find stillness in the midst of our busy lives, moments where we can simply be with you and receive your guidance. As we move through this day, remind us that our worth is not defined by our achievements, but by the depth of our connection to you. Empower us to radiate your love and compassion in all that we do, allowing your spirit to flow through us naturally. Father, we lift up those this morning who are struggling mentally. We acknowledge the unseen battles many of us fight, battles with anxiety and depression, intrusive thoughts, and the weight of hidden pain. In these moments, remind those, Father, struggling that they are not defined by their difficulties. You see them as beloved children, worthy of boundless love and support. Grant them glimpses of your light, even amidst the darkness. Guide them to sources of help and healing, and surround them with compassionate hearts. And may they find comfort and strength in knowing that they are not alone, that even in moments when they feel lonely, remind them that they are not alone. Father, I ask your peace to wash over them and for your healing touch to begin restoring wholeness within them. Father, even amidst our challenges and the struggles of those around us, we take a moment just to say thank you. Thank you for a new day. Thank you that last night was not our last night. Thank you for the activities of our limbs. Thank you for waking us up this morning, knowing the joys of a new day, the sound of birds, the vision to see, the activity of our limbs. Lord, thank you for roofs, a roof over our heads, for an appetite and a healthy digestive system. Lord, we thank you for this day, for the gift of life. We thank you that things are as well as they are. We recognize that things could be better, that we could feel better in our bodies, that we can move around better, that we can have a little more money in our pockets. Lord, we recognize that stuff could be better. Oh, but Lord, we got sense enough to realize that it can be so much worse. So we thank you that things are as well as they are, recognizing that even though uncertainty, your faithfulness remains. So may this gratitude fuel our spirits today as we get our day started. Help us to see beyond our current circumstances and appreciate the blessings woven into our everyday lives. Lord, we pray that you would cleanse us today from the inside out. For we acknowledge that our sins are many. And Lord, that we deserve your justice, but your justice is too strong for us. So Lord, we plead for mercy today. Oh, because mercy suits our case. Renew our minds, cleanse our hearts. And Lord, open our eyes to see the harvest, to shed our light in someone's dark place today. To be the salt, to be the moral preservatives, to be the flavor in someone's bland life. Empower us and give us the courage to be a child of God. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, everybody shout amen and amen. Hey, listen, I pray that you were blessed this morning. As always, the replay call will be uploaded to the website this morning at gracechurchal.com. Click on that 40-day fasting flyer on the homepage, and it will take you to where you want to go. Hey, listen, pray for our church today, our volunteers. Today, we're launching our supplemental food program. It'll be once a month. Where today we're going to serve over 200 seniors in our area will come to Grace to receive some food. So pray for smooth transitions. Pray for the logistics to be there, because honestly, this is our first time doing it, so we don't know what we're doing. We just doing it. All right. So pray for our volunteers. Pray for our community that they will see Jesus today in all that we say and do. Hey, listen, I am praying for you today. I am rooting for you. So be watchful, be careful, be mindful, and be encouraged. Peace.